The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, hello and welcome to this third talk on the Eightfold Path. And I just finished this guided meditation that I hoped offered you a sense of wonderful, delightful seriousness about how serious it is to meditate, but not taking it so serious that it's dour or heavy, but serious so we're inspired to really show up and be present for ourselves in meditation so that we have what it takes to be present in this world with an orientation of care and kindness and goodwill. So this second factor of the Eightfold Path is usually called intention, resolve. Occasionally I've seen thought, so usually they use the word right intention, right resolve, right thought. And I'm choosing to translate the word samma not as right, but as holistic, because it's what encompasses the whole of who we are. It's an attitude, or it's an approach, or an activity that we do that includes everything, the whole life, our whole lived life. So today I'm going to translate the second factor of the Eightfold Path. The Pali word is sankappa, S-A-N-K-A-P-P-A, as orientation. So the holistic orientation. And I've spent a fair amount of time trying to understand what this sankappa might mean. And the way it appears in the suttas, it's the precursor, it's the condition that engages or orients or directs our thinking. So first we're kind of like, if I hear a sound, and again I turn and orient my attention to the sound, then I have thoughts, oh, that's a car horn, that's a train. If I go through the world wanting to buy something, many years ago I wanted a futon couch, and I wasn't, you know, actively, consciously looking, but something inside of me was oriented to driving down the streets of the city for noticing futon couch doors. And so there's a kind of an attitude, it's a disposition that is kind of like, but more like an orientation. So there's three orientations for the holistic orientation. The orientation to not be caught in sensual desire. So freedom, orientation towards freedom, freedom from sensual desire. An orientation to kindness, goodwill. An orientation towards compassion. So it's possible to have hostility towards someone, really feel angry and upset. But while we have those, our orientation is to try to see how we can talk to them, be with them, without that hostility dominating our speech and our actions. We're not oriented, we're not being animated by the hostility. We're being oriented or animated by a whole other area that we're committed to that feels valuable, that seems much more important. we're not oriented around ill will for people. We're oriented towards goodwill. And it's kind of like orienteering in the wilderness, where we might have a compass that orients us to going the direction we want to go. And so we have that as the bearing. We're oriented in the right way. But now the terrain requires us to go in all kinds of directions, sometimes even backwards. And round and up and down and sideways, because of the obstacles in the terrain. But we are oriented towards the direction from by the compass. So we know where we're going. And we make choices with that in mind. And so the first fold of the Eightfold Path, the first limb, is a holistic view. The view that was able to take it all in, including how we suffer and where there's freedom of suffering, where there's clinging and there's freedom of clinging at the same time. It's kind of standing fully, completely in ourselves. So we see it all. We have a holistic point of view. Not easy, but this is what we're going to. This is what the practice is bringing us to. And once we have this holistic view, where we see that suffering, clinging, is not the whole story, where we're no longer inclined to invest in our suffering, to identify with our suffering exclusively, we're not going to invest anymore in clinging, or identify clinging, or justify the clinging, because we clearly see there's an alternative. It's already right here. It's part of us. The stronger the mindfulness, stronger the way we're really present, the more we'll see that we're not defined by these negative mind states that we can have. As we see that, we see there's another possibility. And that can give birth to having a holistic orientation, to be guided by, be disposed towards, to be motivated by, to have intentions, have thoughts, have considerations in a certain direction. So the North Star is compassion, goodwill, metta. The orientation is freedom from sensual desires. Not necessarily avoiding sensual pleasures, but not being caught in them, not being imprisoned by them, not being limited by them, to find freedom. So where do we, as the holistic view becomes stronger, the corollary or what follows is this holistic orientation that knows clearly what's better for us, knows clearly what is the best that we can have, to knows clearly where the deepest sources of life, deepest sources of what animates us can come from. And even though it might not always be there, we know well enough that we have it as our North Star, we have it as our compass point. Kindness, goodwill, well-wishing, metta, care, compassion, karuna. These are not meant to be overlays onto our experience, like pretending or acting as if we have compassion and goodwill. But they're supposed to be the opposite. They come from the wellsprings from us inside. That's possible when we have the holistic view. Then there's a sense of the whole being complete, we start gathering all the pieces of ourselves together so that the best in us has a chance to inform us, to guide us, to show us the way. And for the Buddha, finding the way to freedom, to a fulfilled life, to a holistic life that we feel fulfilled, deeply satisfied, involves freedom from sensual desires. So they oriented around that. Involves freedom from ill will, being oriented to well-wishing, to metta, and being oriented to oriented away from cruelty, and instead be oriented towards non-cruelty, which this, is the tradition calls as compassion, karuna, and I call anukampa, care. So the idea is these aren't beliefs that we take on, though they could be, because these beliefs are maybe better than the alternatives. But rather, we have done the inner work to identify these qualities of compassion, goodwill, freedom from sensual desires as being really healthy. It's a way of the healthy sense of the whole, the sense, healthy sense of integration, of inclusion, nothing left out. It's an alternative to clinging. As soon as we cling, we have things that are left out. As soon as we cling, we are separated from the whole. We now are narrowly focused, tight, limited. And this practice of mindfulness is to be filled and open up to the whole picture, the good, the bad, and the ugly, everything can be included. And something very special happens then. Then we have a chance to recognize the deep wellsprings inside of our interpersonal relationships, the wellsprings of care, caring for our interpersonal lives, caring for the world around us, caring it with goodwill, caring with it with compassion, caring with it for it without being caught in sensual desires. So the first limb of the Eightfold Path, right view, is primarily understood to be deeply personal. The second step of the Eightfold Path now begins to spread the lessons of the right view into our interpersonal life, out into the world. And so this is foundational to the whole Dharma, is not just keep it personal, but also to let it radiate from us or be inclusive of us as interpersonal beings in our interpersonal relationships, so that we are oriented towards compassion, oriented towards loving kindness, oriented towards freedom. And these orientations, these ways of setting the compass, these ways of having a North Star, sets the stage for the rest of the Eightfold Path. So, holistic orientation, the second fold of the Eightfold Path. And the image I have of the, because we use the word in Pali is limb, anga for the Eightfold Path, but we say in English eightfold. And what I think of is that as we go through the Eightfold Path, we're unfolding the paper. So it's folded eight ways, and now we're opening it up and opening it up. And if you ever try to fold paper into eight, you know, keep doing it in half, no matter how big it is, it gets really tight and small to fold it eight times in half. And this wonderful thing happens as we unfold it. So Thank you very much. And look forward to being here tomorrow.